And so in this Advent season of peace, and throughout the Advent season of faith and love and peace and all the stops along the way to Christmas, we this year are pairing those spiritual qualities with the element that corresponds to it. So peace and water seem to naturally go together, don't they? So this is what I learned about a wadi. A wadi is often a dry riverbed, a place that is seasonally becomes full of water. And it, especially in the Middle East, carries a lot of spiritual significance. When you think about the desert areas, right, it's revered as a place of oasis and spiritually further expressed as something that symbolizes renewal, hope, and divine providence. The Bible mentions wadis as places of significant passage and reflection. And the winding nature of a wadi can be like the spiritual journey or the journey of life, that along the way we come across water that may be renewing and cleansing for our souls. So lots of goodness in this one word that represents all of this. And these descriptions of peace and this idea of being out in the desert brings us back to the water that we used in our ceremony today. It was St. Paul and St. Anthony were each, in about the year 250 for St. Paul and 270 for St. Anthony, they were guided to go out into the desert and live as hermits. And in both cases, about 35 miles apart from one another, not even knowing one another, they each found a place where they struck a rock and water miraculously sprung forth, and that became their place to be in meditative and prayerful silence. And the idea was to be solo in this, but St. Anthony's something, maybe magnetic energy, I don't know what, drew other people who wanted to live this kind of lifestyle. And so they became known then as the Desert Mothers and Fathers. You might have heard of before, read some of their sayings, these early Christian heretics or ascetics that lived in this hermetic way. Not heretics. Scratch that. Cancel. I know, I got your attention there, right? You're like, wait, what? Well, I don't know. They might have been in their own way. Who knows? Anyway, so that's where the place from which the water that still flows today, where there's still operating monasteries, where they're still talking about the miraculous water that they're using every day to wash with, to drink, and so on. I just love that. This continuation now, here it is, and blessing our members today. So it's that beautiful way in which we are connected throughout the planet, isn't it? And water is one of those ways that does connect us. And hopefully, peace is one of those ways as well. It's certainly our affirmation, our desire, our prayer, the thing that we hold for ourselves and for each other, that we may be at peace with one another and within ourselves, within our own minds and hearts. So water, then, is one of those things that kind of conjures up that sense of peace, doesn't it? For many of us, and maybe not for everyone, but how many of you find peace when you are at the water's edge or submerged in water or even washing with water? So many of you are nodding your head. So yes, right? And did you know that blue is the favorite color worldwide of human beings by far? Even in countries where, like red, like China, where it's a, you know, red is a very spiritual and significant color, blue is still the favorite. And so why is that? What is it about blue? What does it evoke for us? For a lot of us, it evokes feelings of peace, feelings of calm, of serenity, and associations with water and blue sky and so on. So all of that comes in this process, in this package of watery peace, of flowy peace. So in the Christmas story, the shepherds were out watching their flock by night, we're told. And so they were under this beautiful starry sky. And if they were caring for their flock, they may well have been watering their flock. And, you know, if you imagine that the desert surrounding that area of Bethlehem was truly desert. And in this area, there happened to be some nice fields. I imagine verdant green fields where the sheep were being cared for and watered. And so this must have felt even more so. You know, it's like when the rains come here and things have been so dry and suddenly the hills begin to green. You know how psychologically that feels, right? How good that feels. It's like life, yes, aliveness, nourishment for the earth, for me, for the animals, for the plants, because we really feel that sense of oneness with nature when we are nourished by the rains in such a way. And so the shepherds wasn't necessarily raining, but they were in this kind of reverie, I imagine. Maybe their routine where, you know, every evening they were, you know, kind of with each other, but also caring for their own flocks and moving through the fields and maybe occasionally looking up at the beautiful starry sky and marveling at it and just kind of in that really beautiful, peaceful rhythm. You ever been in one of those places where you're just kind of, you know, moving out at night or you're sitting under the starry sky and you just feel so much peace? So you imagine they're in that kind of setting and in that kind of inner state of peace. And suddenly an angel appears and the scripture says they were terrified. So they went from complete peace and just in their groove and in their flow to, oh! You know, that kind of state that suddenly something very surprising just rattles us out of our state of peace. And so Reverend Dr. Norman Iris Rosado is one of the writers in the Advent booklet that we have this year. And she writes about this experience. She says, all of a sudden their peace are disturbed and the angel stands before them and they're terrified. And she says, how many times have we been in a place of peace and it got disturbed? Right? How many times have you, how many times in a day, right? What might we be in that kind of place, right? And then the leaf blower starts or the dog starts barking or the, you know, whatever it is. It can be from simple things like that to something very shocking that happens or something very big that happens, an earthquake, you know, just something that suddenly brings us into a completely different state. The shepherds were quaking, they say. They were so scared at that moment. And so maybe you could even recall for a moment, come into a memory, if you want to close your eyes for a moment, drop in and recall a time you might have been in a state of peace, and then suddenly you moved into a state of perhaps fear or anxiety. And what did you do? Did you panic? Did you go deeper into the anxiety? Or did you somehow help yourself shift back into a more peaceful state? Maybe all of the above. What the shepherds did was they listened to their inner voice of calm. Maybe they calmed each other too, we don't know. But somehow they seemed to have shifted into a place of receptivity, into an acceptance of the situation, and back into probably a little heightened sense of curiosity and openness and a maybe not completely chilled out, peaceful place that they were in previously, but not necessarily a panic-stricken place. And part of it were the words that they heard from the angel, which metaphysically we know angels are thoughts. Angels are those thoughts that we allow divine thoughts, divine ideas to come to us to, when we open to those and we receive the message that is in them. And the angel says what the angel always says when they show up in the Christmas story, do not be afraid. It's a refrain of the angels, do not be afraid. Here comes this blinding divine light, do not be afraid. And out of that space, then she, he, the angel, they say a little bit more about why not to be afraid. I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all people. And we can know this for ourselves. Whatever is going on in our lives, whatever is happening in your life, that you can overcome your fear and return to peace. Let's say that together. I can overcome my fear and return to peace. And this idea to not be afraid, this idea that whatever is happening, whether it's conflict or chaos or anxiety or fear or not knowing, uncertainty, whatever that state of being that we might be in, to know, to remember, be not afraid, because there's a reason why this is happening. There's something coming. There's a message here for me. There's a blessing in this for me. And to open to that is to receive that angelic divine idea, that truer thought, that higher thought that is a, that resonates with the essence of who you are. And so it may be those very words from Luke, do not be afraid. And then even good news that comes. I think there's a slide for this, Lariah. Sorry, I'm bouncing all over the place. I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all people. Now, you might be saying, well, what would that be in my case? You know, here I am just moving. I'm in a state of anxiety, or I'm in a state of fear, or maybe I'm in a state of lack. And then all of a sudden there's some kind of thing that happens and I shift. But what's the good news for all people? Well, if you get into a more peaceful state, then I get into a more peaceful state. And if I get into a more peaceful state, then you get into a more peaceful state. And so it goes, right? This is how we spread peace. We've affirmed this for a very long time in Unity. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. And so it does begin with us. That is a true statement. That when I am at peace, the people around me are at peace. It's like the story about that Thich Nhat Hanh tells about the boat people coming across. And, you know, there's a lots of reasons to be anxious and fearful in those boats in the night, the refugees coming across the ocean. But as long as one person can keep their cool, as long as one person can get inside that center of divinity, or that at least that calm, cool space that says it's going to be okay, that reassuring presence, whether it's spoken or it's energetic, it calms the whole boat. And so it is for us in our lives, right? We can be that. So that's the good news for all people. But there's even more good news for all people, because like in the Christmas story, what is coming is this rebirth, this recognition, this revelation of the Christ Spirit within, the consciousness once again revealed to us. And each time we come around to this experience, we get to reveal more. We get to let go of more. We get to see more and experience more and feel more of the truth of who we are. And that is a peace of mind that comes with that. That is a deep, residing, abiding peace that then we carry with us when we touch that quality in the Christ consciousness that is a part of who we are. And that is something that we all share. While we each are unique in our soulful expressions, we all share the Spirit. We all have access to the Spirit. It's an equal opportunity for all, right? It's an equal opportunity for all to choose to move into that, to drop into that, to experience that peace, to flow with it. Peace is with us all. Peace is in us all. Peace is us all. You know, there's a traditional sign of the peace that they do in Catholic, and I think some Protestant churches do it too. But it's really a beautiful greeting. And so slightly unitized, it's peace is with you. Peace is with you. You want to say that to a neighbor? Peace is with you. What a beautiful thing to just affirm to each other the truth on occasion, right? To share a blessing of peace or love or joy or whatever it may be, to know that truth, to see it in one another. It's what we mean when, you know, what we've gotten out of Hinduism and Indian culture, the namaste, in one word. It means I see the divinity in you. I see the truth in you and I in you. It's beautiful. Beautiful way to greet each other. So what causes us to lose our sense of peace are basically, it boils down to two things. One is fear, which we've talked a bit about with the shepherds and the Christmas story. And the other is lack. In some way, believing something's missing, something's lacking, something's not here, something's somehow not enough, right? And out of that is a lot of disruption of peace. You can think about it collectively, how much we have, as human beings, fought over perceived, you know, skimpiness of resources. And so then we've, you know, argued with each other, and it turns into sometimes war even. And talk about water. How about water rights? How about this thing? And, you know, here, right here in California, we have these issues, right? Large corporations buying up water rights, hoarding water, sending it to their city away from the, you know, farmers, and so on it goes. And so it's this idea that there is not enough and I got to get mine. And that is not a peaceful state of consciousness. That is what we call separation consciousness. It's a consciousness that says we are not together. We are not one. In fact, we are separate, and I have to take care of me and mine. And it's that consciousness that when the Christ consciousness comes, has no room anymore to be. It falls away like the water blessing. It falls away, and we open ourselves to the light and the love and the truth that we are. So in Jesus, there's always some group, right, that we decide is the other, so that, you know, we can make sure that we get the goodies, whatever they may be. And so throughout human history, there's always others. There's always the other group. And then they become sort of otherized and then even demonized and then the enemy. And then we don't think of them as people anymore. We think of them as objects. And that's how we can go to war with each other, because they're just the object. They're just the enemy. And when we say war, and we all think, well, I'm not a part of that. Well, just think of it more deeply. Well, war is any time you have ill feelings against someone. It's any kind of conflict. It's any kind of judgment we hold. There's always that kind of thing happening in our world up until now. Has been up until now. But there's always the opportunity for us to shift out of it completely and fully even. It is possible. We have to hold those possibilities in order for those shifts to really happen. So in Jesus' time, the lesser than people, the others for the Jews, were the Samaritans. And it's interesting that there's two different stories about the Samaritans, that the best known ones anyway of this in the New Testament, that are connected to water. The first one is takes place at a place called Wadi Kelt. And at Wadi Kelt is the story of the Good Samaritan. You probably have heard the term Good Samaritan. Use the term Good Samaritan. Maybe you've walked into a hospital called Good Samaritan, because it's everywhere present in our world, because we love the story so. And so what happened at this Wadi Kelt is that there was a man who had been beaten and robbed and left for dead on the side of the road. And along came a priest, and he crossed the road and didn't help. And along came another priest, and he crossed the road and he didn't help. But the third person who came along went right to the person who was in need and helped. And he was a Samaritan, now dubbed the Good Samaritan, right? And so what did he do? He cared for the man. What did he do? He poured his love out. He did what he could do to help the man be restored to wholeness. and life and to flow again with goodness and to have peace. Another watery place where one of these encounters takes place is where Jesus and the woman at the Samaritan woman at the well meet, and they have this very meaningful conversation at the well together. Now, this is really out of the box because men and women talking midday alone like that, unless they're married, would be very strange. And a Jew and a Samaritan, even more so. But Jesus doesn't care about that stuff, you know, and we shouldn't either. Because it's about bridging, it's about oneness, it's about recognition that you have as much of a right to peace as I do. You have as much a right to love as I do. And we want the peace and love to flow between us and amongst us because that's how we create the kind of world we all want to live in. We can't siphon it off and say, I want love and peace and joy for all of these, but not them. And it changes, doesn't it? Oh, no, now they're welcome and they're not. It's like, what is these? And these antics just keep us spinning in the kind of stuff we don't want to experience. Conflict and war and chaos and just ill feelings and lack of peace. And it's an easy shift back in for all of us personally and collectively. It may not seem easy, but once we get that groove going, once we get that habitual understanding going that this is my way back, this is the path, it's like we cut a wadi, right? It's like we've created a wadi and it's always there. And sometimes it's a little dry, but you know, we just keep walking in the wadi or swimming in the wadi and lo and behold, the water springs forth. It reminds me of Charles Fillmore, our co-founder, when he first, you know, got involved in these teachings and he would say, you know, he was hearing all these different things. And he said, in this babble, I'm going to headquarters. But he didn't just sit in the silence and go, oh, that's really yummy. I really like being in the silence. I feel so peaceful and blissful. No, that's not the experience he had. It was dry as a bone. And it was like a dry, scientific, business-like experience that he committed himself to over and over, night after night. And he said, he just, you know, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel it, but I kept doing it. I didn't feel anything. I kept doing it. I kept returning. I kept just, at the appointed hour, I just kept my commitment. And then one day, I rather liked it. And then everything changed. They used to say, Papa Charlie has dropped into the silence again. Everybody would be gathered for a dinner party or something, and then Charles would just be like gone for a minute with his eyes closed, and they're like, oh yeah, he's just in the silence again. He loves the silence. But this is what it takes for us sometimes, is just, you know, recognizing that sometimes the river of spirit is going to feel dry. And it's okay if we keep up our practice. It's there. The water is beneath. The spring is ready to spring forth. It's just keep coming. Keep coming to the well. At that well with a Samaritan woman, Jesus revealed to her what he knew about her life. And what he knew about her life is she kept going outside for the good. She kept looking to other people to fill her cup of love. He said, I know you've had a bunch of boyfriends and a couple of husbands, and the guy you're with now isn't your husband. And she's just eyes saucers, you know, like, how does he know all this stuff about me? Well, he got her attention, didn't he? And really his point was, he doesn't spell all this out, but it's like, you keep looking outside. You keep coming from a place of, I lack, I'm missing, I don't have. And then it doesn't bring you a sense of peace because it's just temporarily fulfilling. It's like you slog up here through the heat and the midday sun and you get one lousy bucket of water and you got to walk all the way back to the village and probably half of it spills and then you've got a little water and then you got to come all the way back to the well, right? And he's saying, if you had asked me, I would have given you living water and you would never thirst again. If we would ask, if we would return, if we would go within, we would get the living water. And then we wouldn't be hurting so much. We wouldn't be causing so much conflict or experiencing so much conflict and chaos and lack of peace. If only we just went to the well. It's so easy. It's so easy. It's so easy that we cannot believe it's that easy. And so we keep walking around the well. Isn't it true? I mean, are you like me? I do this too. And then I get into it and I get back into my rhythm and I go, oh, this is so yummy. Why did I ever walk away from this? It's just like now you can't get me out. I don't want to stop. It's like when we do new meditation sometimes, I'm like, oh, I got to bring everybody out. Darn. I'd like another 30 minutes, please. But it's that practice. And that's what all that Jesus is really talking about. If you had asked me, and he's not again saying Jesus, me, the special man, although Jesus was a special man. He's saying the Christ, the consciousness, the truth inside me and inside you. If you would ask there, if you would go there, if you would visit that well, you would get everything you need. You would be quenched forever. Forever. Now, of course, us human beings, we often forget, right? But the more we come back to the well, the less space and time between times, and the more we are grounded and centered in this place of overflowing peace. And then we become that kind of peaceful, calm, confident presence that moves through the world. Then when everybody else is having a huge upset about something, that person, even though they may have human feelings, can shift very quickly and be the one in the boat that helps everybody else come to peace. We do help each other by where we are, you know, and who we can be in different moments. And if you notice other people are panicking, you need to be the one who steps in, right? And is the presence of peace. I remember, you know, Brenly and I come from the Midwest, so earthquakes and wildfires were not like our thing, you know, tornadoes maybe, but we never really experienced any of these directly. And so when we came, like the first couple weeks we were in California, we first moved to Santa Barbara, there was white ash all over our backyard from a wildfire. And then a few days later, I remember she was outside the kitchen and I was inside the kitchen, and all of a sudden we were looking at each other, but she was standing outside and the whole thing shook. And it was just like, was this a good idea? But you have, you know, somebody's got to be that presence. On another occasion here, our whole bedroom shook us awake, and she started getting a little panicky for a minute, and I was like, it's okay. It's over. We're fine. Everything's fine. Dogs are fine. All is well. So it's like, you know, whoever can reach for the peace and be it. And allow ourselves to help each other recognize that whatever is happening, all is truly well. It's hard to know that sometimes, you know, when you get terrible news or your heart is broken or, you know, whatever it is that's going on in life, because there's a lot, right? There's always a lot as these embodied spirits that we go through as human beings. But there is a knowing that we can move into when we really walk the walk of peace, when we flow with the living water of peace, that we can get to that place that knows at the same time, yes, this is going on outside and it's not good or it doesn't feel good in this moment and there's lots of chaos. But at the same time that I know this, that all is well. I know the truth that all is well, that ultimately all is well. Doesn't mean we don't take action. It doesn't mean we don't care. Even more so, we do, because we know what to do. We know we can tap the depth of that spiritual availability to us, that divine essence that we have with us always in the midst of us, and that we can bring it forth through our words, through our actions, through our energy, through our knowing, the moments of just pause. And be still and know that I am. That's the way to peace. So there's this inner wadi, right, that is always available to us, and we can go back to it again and again and again. And, you know, even in the collective, it might seem sometimes like the collective things, the places where there is war and so on, it just seems like, wow, back to the Middle East, right? The ongoing war there that breaks our heart, that has been with us since all of our lifetimes and before. and still seems to keep coming and coming in different ways and worries and concerns that we all have about peace. But, you know, if we just go back to the basics, to the unity teachings, to our innate spiritual qualities, the answers, the resolution is there, even for that kind of conflict. Prosperity tells us there's enough for all. That's our prosperity teaching. There's enough for all. Peace calms us down. And wisdom guides us in how to share. It's really the answer to everything. And so if we just return again and again to the well, to the wadi, we will find our way to peace in our individual lives, in our individual relationships, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, between nations and everywhere. So we just return to the land of our soul over and over again, as the song goes. In meditation, we drink in that living water. And so that's a key way for us, in your own forms of meditation, perhaps, to reset in the presence of peace. That's the key. And once we do, we have so much to share that there is a sharing of it automatically. So let's affirm this together. Let's really feel into our peaceful state of beings and be it, become it, embody it. So I invite you to affirm this with me. Through meditation, I drink living waters of peace. Out of my heart flows rivers of peace. I am peace. I share peace. And so it is.